where great music lives. Johnny Hero.
Right, actor, Larry Lamb is in. Larry, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well.
We've had a great conversation already, we weren't on the air.
We have, cracking on there, aren't we?
Here, you were Archie. I mean, you know you've done loads of things, but was Archie in EastEnders the biggest profile one?
Well, logically it must do. I think the fact that it was doubled up with Mick Shipman and Gavin and Stacey is what gave it that extra sort of boost.
Yeah.
And so, EastEnders hits a huge market, but it doesn't hit everybody.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people that don't watch EastEnders are very, very quick to tell you they very definitely do watch Gavin and Stacey. So between those two, I covered the lot.
You must have captured everyone.
Absolutely.
Then, yeah.
Absolutely. It's quite extraordinary that those two things should have happened simultaneously. I mean, they might happen to an actor throughout, during the course of a career, but, 10, 15, 20 years apart. But to do them, simultaneously, yeah. quite amazing.
Were you amused at people who were hailing this actor? Larry Lamb has appeared and he's in EastEnders and Gavin and Stacey. But you'd been obviously treading the boards for 30-odd years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you just sort of have to constantly remind yourself that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you've been in the RSC. It doesn't matter if you've been in the West End, dozens of times. It doesn't matter if you've been in basically every important theatre in London. It's the mass audience that is recognition. That gives you a profile. Is when millions of people know who you are. Mm-hmm. That's it, and you don't get that from the theatre.
Yeah, among actors, is it viewed like that? Well done, you got a soap. Or
more so now than it used to be. I mean, I for years avoided those things like the plague. If you wanted to be a respectable actor, you just didn't go near anything like that at all. But which didn't stop you realizing just how difficult it was to sustain those jobs and to keep the level up all the time. One lost no respect for the people that did it, but it was something that you realized would change your life if you did, and that you wouldn't be doing what you were then considering was what you wanted to do, which was to be a serious actor.
Yeah, but I suppose the career of an actor, a big pitfall is that the jobs can come in fits and starts.
Absolutely.
So, and you've got a family to look after.
Absolutely.
So it's you need regular money coming in.
It's not a job. I mean, I think if somebody had said to me at the beginning of my career, I started late, right? So I was 27, I'm 65 now. If somebody had said to me back then, looking into a career that was hopefully going to flourish, that if at the end of 37 years as an actor, I could honestly say that I had earned my living, not become rich, earned my living as an actor for 37 years, I was by definition an extremely successful actor. If somebody had said that to me, I might well have gone in a different way.
Yeah.
And that is, that's an absolute fact, because the majority of actors do not earn their living as actors. They do other things and they desperately, desperately hang on to try and get a job as an actor.
Yeah. Did you ever have a safety net career, something you could fall back on?
No. I mean, the weird thing is I had a big career or a series of jobs that all interlinked that gave me a career and a life before I became an actor. So I was doing very, very well by the time I took the jump, but it sort of drew me to it. It was something I was doing as an amateur, and I figured, well, if I could do as well as a professional as I'm doing in what I'm doing now, number one, it would be much more interesting, because I realised that the sort of people I would be mixing with in that world would be a much broader spectrum. My horizons would be far, far broadened. And that indeed has turned out to be the case. I haven't necessarily done nearly as well as I might have done. I was in the oil business by the time I jacked it all in, and I was making a lot of money when I was 27. But this seemed to be what I wanted to do. So I jumped.
Did you give yourself a cutoff point?
No.
For like a deadline?
No. And once again, these are things that I've realised now. I didn't. And I suppose in a way, I was very, very fortunate. I mean, it took me about 5 years to find out what this thing about unemployment meant that actors were always talking about.
Yeah.
And because that's the reality of
resting between jobs.
Resting,
yeah.
You know, you just, you know, like months and months and months. It took me years before that ever happened to me.
And was it a big shock to the system?
Yeah, it was a big shock. And it was, and also, interestingly enough, it came at a time when I'd gotten on far enough within the business that I was doing, not, you know, I was doing all right. I was making a living, doing okay. But I was brave enough to turn jobs down. And it was only because I'd turned jobs down that I was unemployed. Because then, you know, you've got that double whammy. You're kicking yourself because you've made the wrong decision.
Yeah, but I suppose for actors then, you end up in a dangerous corner if you just take everything that's thrown at you.
But then there are a lot of actors that do make their living and make their way by saying, right, the next one that comes through the door, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it. Because, you know, the one that you say no to could very well be the one which made the difference. And that's the problem with it. It's that's constant uncertainty. I've sort of tried to explain. It's like living your life in a lottery. There's absolutely any single element of it can turn into the thing which made the change.
Yeah. You need a crystal ball, basically.
You do.
Because
a pair of them.
But yeah, you get so many jobs, and you'll take this one, which is a damp squib, runs for 2 weeks in a theatre and it's gone. Or you pick this other role, and it's, you know, it's EastEnders, or you get 10 years out of it, or whatever. And lots of actors make those choices and maybe end up turning down roles that could have made them, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Or you do some funny little job, and 3 years down the line, it turns out to have been a crucial part of your career, because the guy that was directing it back when he was just starting out has had two big boosts in his career, and he remembers having a wonderful time with you. Because that's another thing to remember: it's not just about the work; it's about the interrelationship. It's about people to people. That's the thing about it. And actors always feel that when they're going along for audition, it's about showing how wonderful they are at being an actor. Well, it's not. A lot of it's about, am I going to like to be in a rehearsal room with this bloke for the next 6 weeks? Can I stand being around him? So the personal side is involved as well. And that personal side can finish up years later. The guy remembers when he's had a big boost in his career, and he thinks, I remember, he would be good for this part. The phone rings and all of a sudden your life changes.
Yeah. And, well, everybody's life hinges on little moments like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
You've mentioned a thing a couple of times. Pat Jennings sat there yesterday and Jeff Hurst sat on the other seat beside you. And they both mentioned it. And they're world famous. And they both mentioned luck.
Yeah.
They needed luck.
Absolutely.
And they got where they are by a touch of luck.
Because I always figure that, you know, once you get to a certain level in sport or in, you know, in the profession, as it were, of acting, the given is the talent. You know, you're not going to... People moan and groan about, well, he's not very good, she's not very good, I'm much better than him, he's much better than her, blah, blah, blah. But generally speaking, the level of talent is high. Anybody that's honest will tell you that it's the luck that actually takes you through to have a career, you know? That's it. Because, you know, you can be the... I know, I've run into people who have been unbelievably talented, and they've gone to drama school, had a wonderful time at drama school, and they spend the next 3 years coming out of drama school trying to get an agent, and they never ever ever get started.
Yeah,
they just weren't lucky.
But it plays an indescribably big part in a lot of people's life. Ronaldo, the footballer, best footballer in the world, arguably him and Messi. He describes himself as lucky.
Yeah.
And he one of those pivotal moments, he takes it back to a trial match when he was a kid. And the coach couldn't decide between Ronaldo and another player.
Yeah.
And he said, whoever scores most goals in this game, I'm taking on as an apprentice at Sporting Lisbon.
Yeah.
Ronaldo scored a goal. Henry Fantau scored a goal. And in the last minute, Henry Fantau was through on nets, could have scored, but he passed it to Ronaldo, who scored. And Ronaldo said, if he hadn't passed to me, I would have gone back to
working the juniors
He was talking about going back to working in his father's business or whatever it was, you know.
Yeah.
And look at the talent. He still describes himself as
exactly.
lucky.
I don't know anybody that doesn't actually put the finger on it and just say, look, you know, if you ain't lucky, you know, forget it. You've got to have the luck. Just got to have it.
make your own luck.
You do make your own luck. I mean, you've got to go out there. You've got to put yourself out. You've got to meet people. You know, you've got to be interested in things. You've got to see things. I mean, talking as an actor now, you know, it's no point saying, oh, I don't like the theatre. I only want to be a movie. But you've got to see it. You've got to watch it. You've got to understand it. You've got to appreciate it. You've got to read. You've got to broaden your knowledge. You've got to broaden yourself as a person. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, that's all you've got. That's your working equipment. You know, that's what you're going to apply to whatever it is.
Have you ever taken on a part that was really alien to you, that you really haven't a clue what this guy's supposed to be like?
Most of the time, I try and avoid doing things like that. There are some actors who will take on anything. I've managed to sort of avoid myself finishing up in situations like that. I think the further along you get in it, the more you realise that your life experience will allow you to give them your version of that person. So you don't worry about that, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, right, I'm gonna do it. I mean, I've talked my way out of things before and I've proven myself right, you know, that I wasn't. Yeah, I think you have to sort of have a sense of reality about yourself and realise, I know I could give it a go, but there's somebody out there that's much better at it than me.
Yeah.
But there's so little work that everybody, this rare do you find yourself brave enough to be able to do that? You need the work.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're here for the Coca-Cola Cinemagic International Film and TV Festival, right? And you're taking part in one of the masterclasses.
I am. And I'm going to be speaking tomorrow afternoon to, I think, maybe 40 young, hopeful would-be actors or people that want to work in the industry. And as I say, I mean, I hardly consider myself a master, but, you know, what I can do is impart some, you know, information about what I've experienced in my 37 years of it and maybe open people's eyes to perhaps a little more of the reality, because, you know,
you're talking to maybe 40 aspiring actors there tomorrow. Do they have the rose-coloured spectacles on, that it's all glittering balls and Oscar ceremonies?
I think unfortunately, you know, there's plenty of those rose-tinted spectacles get handed out with everything every day, right? Yeah. We all sit around thinking that'd be nice, this would be lovely, this would be wonderful, because the reality is nothing like that at all. Ordinary actors... You know, I mean, when you get the statistics about actors' salaries and money, what they earn and all the rest of it, most of them don't earn any money at all.
Yeah,
the majority of actors are skint all the time.
Forgive me for laughing, that's a real statistic.
That's it. They don't earn any money. It's hellish.
You're going to have to inspire them more than that, mate.
Well, you know? I don't know, mate. You know, maybe I'm doing them a favour, right? I'm not here to sell them on the idea of it. As far as I'm concerned, if you get somebody like me along, you know, I've had the most extraordinary life, but I have been very lucky, and I feel a duty to be honest about it. I really do.
Yeah. I suppose, there's no point steering these people on the wrong path.
No.
Let them know what they're in for.
Well, I got into it because I got interested in acting as an amateur. Now, I was never really made to understand about all the other things that are involved in the entertainment business. There are lots of different parts of it that might well have been a better call for me, you know? I might have been happier being a producer. I don't know. You know, in some ways, I've learned to be an actor. I had, a reasonable amount of talent at the beginning, and I've learned how to do it. And I've, because when you're a professional, when you work alongside professionals, unless you're a complete mug, you know, you will pick up, you will learn, the tricks of the trade. And there are tricks to the trade, and you get the confidence by doing it over and over and over again. But it may well have been that I might have been better applied to some other element of the entertainment business. I don't know. I'll never know.
Yeah. What's next up for you then?
I'm off on Saturday. I'm off on Friday. I'm going to Derby to do a pantomime. So I'm rehearsing Captain Cook in Peter Pan in Derby.
Captain Hook. You said Captain Cook.
Did I say Captain Cook? Yeah. So I left a glass of water. My mouth's getting claggy.
Hook's a great role. He's a great body.
It's a fabulous role. I've done it once before and I absolutely love it. I love it.
Again, would the serious actors poo-poo pantomime performance?
It's a very interesting question because there are so many actors that would love to do it. And because the thing is, you know, one of the little benefits of going that route and being in a soap opera is that you have got enough of us all to profile where, as far as the producers of pantomimes are concerned, you're the ones that are going to be up for something like Captain Hook.
Yeah.
So I've got lots of mates of mine who are very, very, very sort of pucker actors who would love to play Captain Hook in Peter Pan, but unfortunately they don't have the profile on the bloody telly, dear. Who's my French.
Very good, very good. So that takes you through till after Christmas. Yeah. Any films or anything?
Nothing. No. I'm doing a bit of writing. I'm gonna be writing a book, I think, in the new year. That's the next thing I want to do. I'm 65 now. I'm like, take it easy.
65's a rock and roll kind of age. It's not what 65 was a generation ago, you know?
Yeah. No, well, as far as I'm concerned, right. I'm enjoying being 65, so I'm taking it easy. I'm not selling that one that you're selling. 65 is the new whatever. 65 is the new 65, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, listen, Larry, good luck with the masterclass. Good luck. I'd love to see that, Captain Hook. That'll be good, you know.
Come to Derby.
Yeah. But listen, thanks for coming in, mate.
My
really
pleasure.
Appreciate it. Thank you.